If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
We'd like to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Anchor.
Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast.
It's free.
There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more.
You can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
So download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. Now, let's get to the show.
What's the best way to reduce? Eat plenty or starve yourself?
30 pounds in just 18 weeks, Jenny Craig totally worked.
I love to eat, but overeating made it impossible to lose weight.
My body wants bread, and I'm going to give my body what it wants.
Oh, my God.
So I naturally.
Medical studies prove that overeating is the number one reason for weight gain.
If you need to lose weight, you
really
want to lose weight.
And bring your weight down.
Overeating
is
losing weight.
Welcome to Fat Camp, a podcast that throws a comedy eye over our societal obsession of diets. Now, a little disclaimer, we are not health experts, but we are fad diet connoisseurs. I'm your host, comedian Grace Mulvey.
And I'm your co-host, Connor Dowling.
Welcome to Fad Camp.
Hey, welcome to the show. So we had so much to say about the diet show Fit to Fat to Fit, we decided to split our episode into two parts. This is part two. If you haven't heard the first part, go back and check it out now before we get started. Enjoy.
In a lot of ways, I'm in a much better mood. No, I used to be so regimented, but now I'm really enjoying everything. Things are tasting good, and that's very unusual for me. I'm kind of redefining who Steve is really supposed to be.
Fast food's growing on me. It really started off disgusting. The fact that it's pretty cheap, and I can stop off and get it anytime just on a whim. I think I'm going to miss that almost more than it tastes. Maybe.
Kind of curious to see what'll happen.
204. A little frustrating. 4 weeks into this, I don't feel like I'm gaining weight as much as I should. I'm
trying to eat 7,000 calories, it's just not working. And I do think that I didn't gain as much weight as I thought, because I think I'm losing muscle at the same time gaining fat, since I can't really work out at all.
Before, after.
So, yeah, so he's just 4 weeks in, and now he's struggling to put on weight.
Wow. God, that, first of all, when he said, food tasting good to me is very new to me. What? You're basically admitting that your food has always been shite. As in, like, you basically are like, yeah, I just never enjoy food. Food tasting good to me is very new to me. Is actually the quote, it should be the name of his autobiography. That's the quote of a lifetime. Are you joking? Like, that's insane. To admit that and not think, that's nuts. That's never been a problem for me. And also, like, the fact that another very interesting thing that he touched on, and I just think is so important, when he said, oh yeah, this fast food, it's cheap, I can get it whenever, it's easy to get, blah, blah. I'm like, these are things that also the diet industry don't like to touch on, is that whenever people are like, yeah, I didn't have time to cook, like, a lot of people work, like, we live in the economy that's a gig economy. A lot of people work a lot of jobs, they might have kids and something like that, but it's cheap. Yeah. These foods are cheaper. Like, as in, like, some people don't have the income to be going out buying, like, you know what I mean? Like, avocado salads and all this sort of stuff, like, this stuff that's really expensive. Mm. So the fact that he even touched on that, I'm like, yeah, that's really important to note, is that, you know, a lot of the times socioeconomic backgrounds that people have, their access to nutritional foods, like, and sometimes people are just busy and they need to get food on the go, and that's okay.
I think that's, you know, part of the socioeconomic side of things, almost even more so than the price of fast food. It's like, yes, fast food is cheaper, so if you're from a kind of different socioeconomic background, then you're going to be able to afford it more. But also, if you're from a different socioeconomic background, you're going to be working probably more hours.
Longer
hours. Might not be able to afford childcare if you've got kids. Maybe working multiple jobs, who knows? And maybe your partner is as well, if you have a partner. And so it's the time as well, and the convenience, you know, play a massive part in it too. It's like, okay, I could probably buy like a bunch of vegetables or whatever, but like, that's, you know, you got to prepare them, you got to cook them, you got to make them nice, and maybe the kids don't want them. So it's like, yeah, that's like a whole thing in itself.
I also find it interesting that he gained, so the first 2 weeks he gained 16 pounds, right? Yeah. And then the second 2 weeks he gained a pound. And yeah, this is something I want to say, because so many people still do this. Weighing yourself is bullshit. Because as he said, he was like, I feel like I'm getting, like, he's like, I'm just, I'm not gaining weight, but I'm losing muscles, so I'm gaining fat. So like, his body composition is changing.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm not gaining weight on the scale. So once again, guys, scales are bullshit. I just want to put that out there. You know,
I think that's really important to note as I cue up our next clip, because to me, this clip is really just so illustrative of what it's like to be someone who's trying to lose weight. But here we have the reverse angle of it, and it's the exact same. So this just follows on from that clip shortly afterwards.
Every time I see that scale, it started to become a trigger for anxiety.
Say it ain't so.
I just can't seem to gain weight. No matter how hard I try, I still can't gain any weight. I'm frustrated at this point with everything, and the hardest thing about this challenge, it's the way I feel.
It's been an hour. Do you want to get up?
Even though I'm not gaining weight as fast as I'd like, I'm still feeling the effects of overeating.
I am feeling rather lethargic and groggy right now.
I don't know if it's a lack of energy from not working out. I quit brushing my hair. I quit brushing my teeth. I quit shaving. You know, I don't know if I'm in this depression or if I'm not working my body, then I'm not going to work on anything else. I have a lot of things psychologically going on with me, and I haven't figured them out. Bonnie is getting tired of hearing me complain.
I mean, I understand being like kind of nauseous because you're full, but a few bikes and you get sick, that's not suffering from being full. I never thought Steve would be lazy. I didn't think that he was going to be this exhausted and tired at all.
Bonnie and I were real dynamic before, and now it's Bonnie holding up the whole team. You know, we're the fit couple. There's Bonnie and Steve, the fit couple. Are we more than that?
Steve is a different person, heavy, than he was fit. I think what makes you lose attraction, it's the laziness on an intimacy level. The truth of the matter is there's not been a lot of romance because he's wore out.
We just got home from a date and it was cut short because he was sick. I miss him. I miss my man.
I'm so ready for this to be over, this part.
When it comes to gaining weight, I don't know crap, and I think that that's just frustrating. I don't know what else to do. I am losing my life to do this. In just 4 months, I threw it all away. I started at about 180.
Right. There's a lot in that. That was an extra long clip.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, you know, when he was like, yeah, the weighing scales have started to be a trigger for me. I'm like, well.
Yes.
Well.
Exactly.
Isn't it nice to hear that? Because I'm sure he has gotten so many of his clients up on a weighing scale. And now he's going, this is a real trigger for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's a bloody real trigger for people when they're trying to lose weight as well. And like, what's so interesting is the fact that he's like, I can't seem to put on weight. And you know what that is? It's because his body, like, their bodies fight to stay at a neutral level that they want to stay at. Like, so his is like, I'm used to being at a certain level, so I'm not going to, you know, you're going to really have to fight me if you want to get past this level. That's just the way his body is. Ours is that, like, you know, that I it's so hard to even see how depressed. I think that one of the reasons why he's getting so down is not only obviously, you know, he is a fit guy, so like his body is changing so rapidly. It's very upsetting to him psychologically. I get that. But also his self of identity.
Big
because
time.
He's always been, quote unquote, the successful fit person. So he associates getting bigger with being lazy and fat and unsuccessful. So first of all, the first thing he does is he stops doing everything. because he's like, I don't think I'm a success anymore. What's the point? And like, that's what's so upsetting, is like, you, just because you're a bit fatter actually doesn't mean you're not a successful person. Like, you've a lot going on in your life, but it's the fact that that's ingrained in him. That's an internalized fat phobia. He's a straight away being like, well, now that you've taken away the thing that I take pride in, which is my physique, I'm nothing. And that's really sad, because actually you're so much more than your physique. And I hope he knows that, if he's ever listening. I doubt he will be. But it was, I'm watching him as well get so frustrated with the scale, get so down on himself. He was like, I'm doing everything. Why isn't this working? Can I say, guys, those words I have said so many times in my life on every diet program. I am doing everything they're telling me to do. Those scales are not changing. And week after week, I remember coming back to work after like going to Weight Watchers, getting weighed in, and I had another week where I'd done everything right. Still nothing. No difference. Yeah. Maybe put on a pound. And it ruined my week. Mm-hmm. Like, when I say I was angry at myself, the things I'd say to myself in my head, it would change my mood completely. I'd almost be like, what's the point? Get depressed. That's when I say the scale is just, it's total bullshit. It's just total. It's you know, the fact that anyone steps on those scales, I just think is so wrong for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's so interesting to watch it in reverse, where you're like, he's saying the words that people are saying when they're going on diets because they're like, I should be smaller. And he is saying the exact same things when he's trying to be bigger. That's so insane to see.
That's exactly it, Grace. Like, you nail on the head, because, and that's what I think is so fascinating about this show. It really is like a weight loss story in reverse, but the beats are the same, you know?
Yeah.
There's that bit at the start where you're like, oh, I get to eat whatever I want when you're putting on weight, when you're trying to lose weight. It's like, oh, I have a new diet. This is interesting. I actually have a lot more energy. I feel cool. You know, this is great. And then after about 2 or 3 weeks or a month, if you make it that far, it's like, oh, I feel like shit. What's happening to my body? I've lost the will to live.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it can be like that on a fitness journey and on a weight loss, a weight gain journey, clearly.
Yeah.
And then the scales becoming this trigger, you know, and oh, I have to put on weight. I have to put on weight. It's the exact same as I have to lose the weight. So I feel like that's not really called out on this show. I mean, it happens, but I honestly don't know. Like, there's no kind of like, there's no parallel to say,
yes,
this is what a person feels like. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's
like, I have a couple more.
There's no learning in the way that, like, we're like, is he getting any self-awareness of the things he's saying? And also, by the way, the one thing that scales do to people as well, body composition is very different. You know what I mean? You could weigh the same as another person and your body might look bigger than theirs or smaller than theirs, whatever it is. He actually doesn't look that different, right? He's put on 16 pounds, but he actually doesn't look that different. And I think the scales are getting into his head that he's sees himself as much bigger. And you're like, you know, you don't look that different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you actually don't look that different. But once again, the scales take away from us seeing ourselves because we're so fixated on the
big
number.
Big time.
Yeah.
There was even a moment where he said, you know, oh, I feel like 215, but then the scale reads 210 and suddenly he feels like shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's kind of like that thing we were saying at the start of the episode about how fat is
a feeling. Fat's a feeling.
Like, whether you're trying to lose it or in this case, put it on. It's like, you know, I could feel great and then look at the scales and go, oh, I've put on a pound. I'm terrible. I'm disgusting. I'm this, I'm that.
Yeah.
Whereas he can feel like great, as in he's achieving his goal of putting on weight, but then find out he hasn't put on enough weight. And he's like, oh, I'm terrible. I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a crazy way for us to beat ourselves up on either end of the spectrum. So, spoiler alert, our pal Steve here does make it to 45 pounds in 4 months in the nick of time.
You're joking.
Yeah, I think his total weight is 230 pounds, which again would be a very pleasant after picture for myself, not to give away my weight too much, but
baby girl,
I would love to reach that weight one day. But again, for him, this is like his like rock bottom. This is like the worst it can ever get.
Can I just say, Connor, one time, I'll tell you this story. I was on a hen one time and I was sitting beside a woman who was talking about, she's like, oh, terrible, the weight I've gained, blah, blah, blah. She said the weight that she was at, she was 10 pounds lighter than me.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
you're like, oh, you're disgusting.
And I went back to her and I was like, well, I'm this weight, which was obviously 10 pounds heavier. And she goes, ah, yeah, but you look fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do we do? But it was so funny because I've been, At the time, I was dieting for months, and I was like, well, that's nice. And I had felt good about myself, and then suddenly I was like, now I feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. And oh my God, yeah, I had an experience like that recently as well. That just, I was like, I'm the lightest I've ever been. And my doctor's like, okay, the weight's looking pretty bad there. You need to get that sorted out. And I'm like, I feel like shit now, you know?
Oh my God, Connor, you are joking.
Yeah.
That's like a drive-by shooting. Oh, yeah. I'm like, how? You know what I mean?
It's a drive-by shooting at your birthday party, basically.
I feel like there should be a term for it, like a drive-by fat shaming, or like, you know what I mean? Like a drive-by fat shooting. That's what I consider
totally
that. It's like you were literally uninvited. You're literally going about your day, and then suddenly this car screams up and someone shouts and throws fat at you. And then suddenly you're like, oh, that's
one of those
that's
big
me.
Yellow fat
blubbers.
Props. Yeah, it's like, doctor, I'm here for an eye test. Like, why are we talking about my weight? Okay, so Steve reaches his 45-pound target in 4 months. He's, you know, very, like, proud of himself for succeeding. And now it's time to, we're about halfway through the show, about the midpoint in our story. And now it's time to meet the person whose name I forgot that he's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be training someone here. Yeah, okay, yeah. So we're going to meet her again. And he's going to, like, show off the goods.
Oh,
Steve looks huge.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah, great job.
A lot tougher than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So I guess I expected that reaction. Look at that. I got back fat.
You know, I see Steve as just looking like a normal, typical middle-aged man.
God dang it.
Not You're someone who's, huge. You know, very into his body.
She's
or
like,
his appearance.
Oh, okay. Good for you, Steve.
I've never seen someone congratulate someone else for putting on weight, and it's really nice actually to see it. when she came in, you'd swear he was like Godzilla. Yeah.
Oh my God, that giant man is going to devour us all.
Guys, can I say, he was like, I have boobs. Ha ha ha. He still has actually the most succulent pecs I've ever seen. Like, I say succulent because, like, once again, he's a bronze goddess.
I don't know if he is wearing fake tan, Grace. I think that might be a legit tan. Like, I mean, he's living in some sunny place.
No, his tan is now more natural, but at the beginning, he definitely was tanned up. Connor,
there's
I'm
more
sorry.
Surface like, Connor, area for the tan to be spread out on. Is that what you're saying? It's
Connor,
it's
I know fake tan. Okay. As an Irish woman, I know fake tan.
Interesting.
Just, you know, as she said, he kind of just looks like a normal middle-aged guy. Like, do you know what I mean? He's definitely, like, going on about his body being so different. But he's just, I don't know, like a bit
It's bigger, different for him. It's different
yeah,
for
it's
him.
Yeah, it's very different for him.
You know,
yeah.
And it's how you feel. It's like, you know, his absolute despicable, disgusting, horrible rock bottom is my like goal weight. Like, you know what I mean?
I've been there so many times where someone was like, see that girl on the left? That girl was blah 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 weight. Yeah. And she hated herself, and I was like, oh my goal weight. Very nice.
Congrats. What exactly did you do to get to your rock bottom? Because I might just replicate myself.
Yeah, can I abseil down the cliff of your rock bottom to get there? Thank you very much.
So is this show telling me that if I eat cookies and cream fondue for breakfast, I can also reach 230 pounds?
That'd be amazing.
Okay, right. So I just have two more clips. This is their first workout
to
get.
Walking lunges, heavy carries, all those things. It's going to be exponentially hard because of the sand.
Right.
All right. So the only thing you need to do is pick up whatever I tell you to pick up and do whatever I tell you to do.
Okay.
You ready to do this?
Yeah.
I want Tasha to find her limits. Sprint. Let's go. Sprint, Tasha. Sprint. No. Fast. Stay with me. No matter what it takes. 6 and 7. Stay with me. I don't care how you feel. 8. Fast. Come to me.
Oh, my God.
Let's go. All the way down. Are you ready to go at it again?
Oh, my.
5. 6. 7. Get it, girl. No. 1. Don't stop. 8. 9. 1. 2. Tasha, I need you now. Give me a real lunge.
I knew coming in that I had a lot of work to do, but I didn't realize I was this out of shape.
Don't peter out, Tasha. I need it all. I can tell Tasha's shutting down. She's giving me...
Oh, that was...
Ooh.
That was... It was tough to watch, but it also just felt like, you know, pretty kind of standard, like, personal trainer session, right?
Yeah. You know what I love? I love when someone's like, right, let's start this journey together by going to a beach on an incredibly hot day and doing a workout an Olympian would find difficult. And then saying, she's not giving me 100%. Are you joking? Like, once again, lads, can I just say the fitness industry, I feel like fucking going up to people and like being like, maybe try exercises people enjoy first and go slow and build up. Why are you by the way, sand is incredibly difficult to work out in.
Yes.
Have you ever tried fucking jogging on sand? It is insanely tough. This woman is out in like the beaten heat, like, lads, I can't even describe it. Like, there must be somewhere in like California or something. Like, there, it's really hot. He has her pulling these, like, you know, like you see those guys in like the Iron Man sort of thing, like pulling like sort of like tires and shit. And then this woman's like, yeah, I don't really work out. And suddenly you have her doing that. Like, why would you start off with that and then push her to the point where you're talking about, she's like, do you want to quit? And she's like, no, like, she's crying. Like, maybe, why don't you go like, hey, by the way, like, getting fit kind of should be a bit of fun. Why don't we do a feckin' salsa class? Do you know what I mean? Like, why don't we do something, a bit of crack, instead of this punishing, like, you see what you've been doing up until now, you deserve to be punished on a beach. This is like weirdly like Normandy or something where she's being shot at. Once again, a drive-by fat shaming, a drive-by fit shaming.
From someone.
It's so weird.
From someone who's supposed to have been going through this whole experience to know what it's like. But he hasn't done his workout yet and we're about to see that. But yeah, I... Like, this is just the exercise equivalent of starting with the cookies and cream fondue.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You've been eating salads your whole life. You're not going to just suddenly go, okay, let's have a 10-course meal and have the cookies and cream fondue with cake on the side. This is like, you know, because I've definitely been brought to these 6-week transformation classes with this exact type of workout where you're dragging weights, where you're shaking ropes and you're doing all the stupid strongman stuff. And you're like, I don't know if my body's able for this. And they're like, just do it, man. Hold that plank for 5 seconds longer. That's going to make all the difference. Like, is it? Or is it just going to make me feel like shit and not want to work out again? Because guess what? That's what happens.
Yeah. And why would I come back to something
that
is so unenjoyable? Those classes are so unenjoyable. I have never been to a HIIT class where people are chatting, joking, being like, oh, listen, every week I can't wait to come here. Just the camaraderie, the crack we have, the jokes are flying, like we get a bit of a workout and it's fab. No one wants to, everyone goes there with a grim, bloody face on them because they know the next 20 to 30 minutes are going to be a shit show of crap. And then they're like, well, I can't wait to get this over with, and it's that part of the week that I hate. Why can't we make exercise fun? And why can't we all admit that transformations shouldn't happen in 6 weeks? And what the hell are you transforming? Like, are you getting, as I said, a second arse or something? Like, no. Why can't we just be like, yeah, I just fancy getting a bit fit. And like, why don't I do it over a few years instead of 6 bloody weeks? Also, ranty Grace is back. But like, during lockdown, so many people started the Couch to 5K or the Couch to 10K app. You know what that was? You start out doing like a minute, like 90 seconds of a jog and like 3 minutes walking. That is what building up a tolerance for fitness is. Why this guy is getting her to work out on a beach when this woman, and like doing such an intense workout when she's just starting. It is not about fitness. It is not about someone's mental health. It's about punishing that person for being unfit.
Absolutely. And oh, also, I would just like to say, nice way to reference yourself from like 10 episodes ago about the second arse. I think you're like, as I said,
thank you.
Like, you said that like about 10 episodes ago. It's just like, remember earlier when we were talking? Like 5 minutes
ago. For some reason, I'm always like, why are you trying to get a second arse out of yourself? Like, when people talk about transforming, they're like, yeah, why don't you evolve? Like, evolving is when, like, as a species, we evolve.
Turn your body
have, like,
into
thumb.
A fat burning machine. It's like, we're not machines, okay?
Yeah, we're human
more
beings.
Complex than that.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the Anti-Gym. We're definitely not a cult.
Sorry, what did you say?
I said, let me take your coat.
Oh, thank you. I'm not sure I'm in the right place, though. Is this a restaurant?
It's a lot of things. Why don't you just sit your toned little butt down and have a seat?
Okay. Am I definitely in the right place, though? I was told to come here for empathy training.
Let me just look at my file. Ah, yes! Grace Malvi, personal trainer to the stars.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I try to offer my clients a truly holistic service, looking at exercise, diet, mental health. And I hear the empathy training here is world class.
You bet your bulky calves it is. When our personal fatness trainers are finished with you, you'll be the most experienced trainer in the universe. Are you ready to begin?
I mean, that does sound pretty intense. Sorry, did you say fatness trainers?
Bring on the lunch!
Wait, what's going on here? What lunch?
Grace, don't you want to be the best personal trainer in the universe?
Well, I mean...
Then Grace, you must eat! Sausage, apple pie, mashed potatoes, fondue cry, milkshake and fries, cake with fork... Open some wine. Hey, pop that cork.
Why are you singing? Where is this music coming from?
Cornish pasty. Eat our desserts until it hurts.
I'm not even that hungry.
Eat, Grace. Eat, Grace. Eat,
Grace. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Grace.
Well done, Grace. A fine fitness trainer you'll make.
Oh, my God, I'm so full. I can't believe I ate all that food. I guess I can see how it might help my clients.
Are you ready for the main course?
Wait, what? Please. No, I can't eat another bite. I can't do it.
Bring up the dinner!
Yeah! Okay. Yes! I'm gonna do it!
Eat.
The anti-gym. Definitely not a cult.
Okay, this is our last clip, but it is not the end of the Fit to Fat to Fit episode. This should just give you an idea of what happens when he does his first workout as a fat.
Having done the same thing I just did, I think I really would quit.
Dadgum feaster, come on!
Two more. Two more, Steve. Come on, baby. Come on, come on, come on. Eight.
I'm surprised by all these feelings. The entire thing was harder than I thought. I knew it was going to be difficult, but I didn't think it was going to be impossible. I'm a douche. I did that to you? Whoa, what a jerk.
So Steve just got his butt handed to him on the workout. It was a total shocker for me that it was that hard for him. I mean, in 4 months, I didn't realize that your body can shut down and you can quickly lose your endurance.
My body's really shaking, but it's just done.
Are you embarrassed with your performance and how you did?
Yeah. Embarrassed, disappointed. I've been worried for 4 months that I was going to lose my desire, lose that drive. And I think that's what's the most upsetting right now. The harder it got, the less I wanted to do it. You know, that's not me. I don't know. I just got to get my attitude right. A big part of me feels like just hitting the first drive-through I find and getting loaded up on a bunch of french fries.
Just wanted to hit the first drive-through after the workout, right?
Yeah.
That's like... So, look, that's our last clip, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the end of that episode, but I can give you a very brief rundown of what predictably happens in this episode.
Yeah.
They work out together. They up mm-hmm. the ante. They keep going strong at it. They develop a bond, a relationship. They both lose weight together as we see the pounds kind of going off, the weigh-ins, you know, go back. He loses the weight. He gets his body back. It looks even better than mm-hmm. before. And now he has this new sense of like, I can do anything because I was fat once. So I'm now the best personal trainer ever. And you know, the two of them make like a genuine, like, we're friends for life now. Yeah. I'm in good shape and so on. Yeah. End of show. You know, that's pretty much kind of how it ends, you know. So I don't think
Cinderella
really
story.
Need to kind of see much of that because
this
is where the rest of the episode is kind of where the premise starts to prove itself and go, look, see, this is what we set out to prove and it's working. Yeah. So I don't think we really need to see
And it's that thing is like fat's a choice. It's, you know, those dumb, bad, fat fats. It's a choice. But
But that's the thing. Like, you know what I found interesting? His takeaway from that exercise being so hard. First of all, the fact that he said, I did this to you. I'm a douche. Yeah, you are a fucking douche. Excuse my language. Because once again, you made this woman who doesn't really exercise do the most brutal HIIT session, HIIT strength conditioning session on a beach in the middle of the day. And then when you were like, okay, here's a person now who hasn't exercised in 4 months. I'm going to make myself do the same workout. And then he's like, oh God, this is horrific. And then he was like, his takeaway was, he was like, halfway through, I wanted to quit. I didn't realize I'd be like this when I'm bigger. It's not that you're bigger or anything like that. It's that you haven't worked out in 4 months. So of course, going into any brutal exercise regime isn't the right way to do it. You're going to have to make baby steps if you want to do those workouts, or you could re-injure yourself if you want to do those workouts, which, by the way, not everyone has to do those workouts. They're not pleasant. They're no crack. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't have to do those. You do it because you want to look a certain way. Fine, go nuts. But like, yeah, just because I'm a bigger person now, I like to quit because I'm a fat, fat dum-dum. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you've learned nothing.
He literally said, oh, I don't know. I guess I just need to get my attitude right.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that
my attitude right? Oh, it's so frustrating to actually watch this. This has, like, nothing has been learned from this. And I would love to know what happened to that contestant, the woman, like what happened to her, like, 6 months after.
Yeah.
Because once again, he has actually learned nothing about this process. It's all about the outside. It's all about the aesthetic. He thinks because he's bigger that he has no willpower, or that he has no drive. He thinks being a bigger person means you're lazier.
Yeah.
It actually has nothing to do with that. It's just your body's a different composition. And why would you go and do this brutal military style workout when you haven't been working out for 4 months? That's really what it's down to. It's a bit of common kind sense.
It was almost like a self-fulfilling, I don't know if you call it self-fulfilling prophecy, but he kind of proved all of his like pre-notions about what the experience would be to be true. Basically, at the start he said, you know, am I going to, you know, is my relationship going to suffer? And it's like, there was a little piece on that where, yeah, it did. And, you know, he lost, like, you know, they lost their kind of like romance. And, you know, he said like all of these things about himself that he basically kind of just went ahead and proved. So the ultimate kind of like learning for him is the only way to live your life is to be super fit and healthy. And like, I mean, I would really love to get inside the heads of these trainers who go back to their fitness world. Like, how many of them go back to it and go, oh fuck, I really want to just like, I there was a simplicity to not getting up at 5 a.m. every morning and going to the gym and eating chicken and broccoli, you know, five meals a day, whatever, you know.
Or like, the fact that he was like, it's really interesting that I get to enjoy food now.
Yes.
He sounded like a robot when he said that. I was like, it's like, you ever see the Bicentennial Man where it's like Robin Williams gets to be like a human being? And it's like he was like, this human being thing is interesting and delicious tasting food. Yeah.
So, So there was like a lot of our shows that we analyze, there's not a huge amount of information out there online about the backlash around it. A lot of it is just purely our speculation. There was a Guardian article that just kind of profiled the show and took some interviews with some of the people involved. So I have a couple of snippets from that I'll get into now. So the big thing is, like, how did they do it? We kind of saw that through the show. They basically increased their calorie intake up to 5,000 calories a day. That was for one of the female trainers. Steve, who we saw on the show, said he would eat between 4,000 to 7,000 calories a day to keep going. And, like, it's funny that he got to a point where he was eating 4,000 to 7,000 calories a day and wasn't gaining weight. What does that tell us about when a dietitian, Weight Watchers, or whoever tells you to go down to whatever it is, 1,800, 1,900 calories to lose weight, and then you stop losing weight, you know, because your body adapts. So your body, his body was adapting to 7,000 calories to the point that...
And maintaining.
That's, that, exactly.
That's really interesting. Actually, that's such an interesting point. Yeah. God, it's blowing my mind here.
I know. So they would set alarms for every 2 hours to remind them to chow on down. That's what the Guardian said. Regularly consuming bacon, eggs and cheese sandwiches. Cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Beer and ice cream. You know, these things that they tell you to kind of usually avoid on diets.
Yeah.
One of the trainers, Katie, said after only 2 weeks of following this unhealthy diet and not working out, she began experiencing gastrointestinal issues, stomach pains, acid reflux, and knee and hip pain. Right? Because it's just, there's just, it's going, it's attacking all elements, I guess, of her body. She became so emotional and stressed out that she and her boyfriend broke up. Although they have since reconciled. And there is another episode where one of the trainers and his girlfriend breaks up during the course of the show.
You are joking.
Yeah, there's another, there was another one. I'm not sure which one, but that was definitely in season one. She said, Katie said, it was perpetually uncomfortable. I felt like I had some version of a terminal or chronic illness. Okay, Katie. It's, you know, you had a,
I think Katie has never suffered from an actual chronic illess.
You never had a food baby, Katie?
Yeah. Katie was like, I farted for the first time and I really alarmed myself.
Do I have to go to the hospital? So one of the stories on the show, this was an episode that I watched, I think it's episode 3 or 4, with this trainer called Adonis, right? Ooh. The interesting thing about Adonis was that he was previously chronically overweight and then lost weight to become a personal trainer. Then he went on Fit to Fat to Fit as a trainer. So this is someone who, you know, was like, you know, suffering. He was pre-diabetic. He had all of these kind of things going on with his body. And he's like, I need to do something about my health. He got into, like, you know, the best shape of his life. His name is Adonis, which is, you know,
he's literally an Adonis. Yeah.
And then he goes into the show that they're like, okay, now you're going to undo all of that and go back. So the stakes are pretty high when you're watching this episode. So Adonis consumed up to 8,000 calories a day by eating pizza, soda and bagels with cream cheese. He eventually gained 69 pounds, but was hospitalized for high blood pressure with 3 weeks left to go of the 4 month weight gain. So basically in three months and 1 week, he basically gained 69 pounds.
That's so dangerous.
I do remember watching that and being like, holy crap. And then, you know, throwing more popcorn into my mouth as they proceeded.
As I smeared more cream cheese onto my bagel.
Disgusting.
These people need to get it together. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Yeah.
So when it was time for him to start shedding the pounds, he switched to a low-carb, high-fat diet. I think that's basically keto diet, to burn the fat he was putting into his body, and began doing cardio on exercise machines since he was too heavy to run. So it was basically like the experiment was just like becoming too dangerous. They were like, dude, you need to start your diet early. He still, and he was one of the ones, I guess, whose weight showed up like more visually than other trainers did. You know, so many of the trainers just end up looking like an average body size
normal person.
And I almost don't even say normal person, because that kind of like assumes that normal is kind of thin and thin. Fat or skinnier.
I think just I would say average sized.
What their doctor would probably consider a healthy weight, but definitely not getting there in a healthy way.
Yeah.
But he particularly did look quite large. So there was that kind of spectacle aspect of it being a TV show. He also suffered emotional stress due to his weight gain. Before he became a personal trainer, he weighed 310 pounds, and being overweight again brought back a lot of those painful memories, you know?
Yeah.
So like, you know, we're talking about guys who look like fitness models and not just fit or athletic. They're beyond ripped. They haven't eaten a carb since like cheat day.
Yeah.
And then in Drew's case, Drew Manning, to bring it back to our original guy who started it all off, he became an unrecognizable, massively overweight man. Like, because he, if you remember, he gained 75 pounds, which is going to show up, you know? The show calls itself the most extreme weight loss experiment ever, which I would, you know, totally buy into. I was like,
pretty extreme. I mean, maybe Super Size vs. Super Skinny could really give them a run for their money now, in all fairness. But yeah, I agree.
Totally. The only reason why I wouldn't say why it beats Super Size versus Super Skinny in that regard is because I don't think people really lose any weight
I know. Yeah.
It's just like, hey, look at this fucked up shit. Okay. Done.
I believe that the theme tune for the show is trauma, 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 trauma. Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the reasons why a show like this is so problematic, if you haven't picked that up already, from just experiencing the show like we have, is with it perpetuates the ideas that with restrictive diet and exercise, with restrictive diet and extreme exercise, you can lose weight and reverse lifelong issues with body fat and fitness. And also, and this is something that came up with Super Size versus Super Skinny, it perpetuates the idea that you can turn on and off your weight gain slash weight loss with like a faucet, like that your body is endlessly malleable. And the reality is that while you may be physically able to do this, you're risking mental health issues, lifestyle issues, you know, whether that's with your relationship or, you know, your your hygiene, according to Steve and the show, you're risking organ damage and often irreversible damage to your metabolism and microbiome health, you know? To round all this off, Grace, to bring it back a little bit, back to our friend Drew Manning. In August, and this is a very interesting piece of research I came across today. In August 2020, Drew Manning set himself a new challenge. Fit to fat to 40.
What?
So, under the guidance...
Excuse me? Sorry, excuse me? Connor, please do not tell me that this man is going to go fat again and then fit when he turns 40. Is that the concept?
He's just great with these titles that just tell you exactly what the thing is, isn't he?
Yeah. I want to gain empathy by 40 years old. So he's like, that's the challenge.
So, yes. So here is what the information says on the website. Under the guidance of a medical professional and armed with 8 years as a fitness and nutrition expert, Drew will examine the mental, emotional and physical struggles of those who gain and lose weight while examining the added challenge of age as he approaches and then turns 40 in December. So he's quoted as saying, "I was on the brink of diabetes and other weight-related medical conditions and felt lethargic for the first time in my life. Now, I have..." He did it. He put on all the weight. He lost it all. And he chronicled the journey on his website. You can actually see his weight, like kind of like the the graph, you know, and there's like before and after pictures and all that sort of stuff. I was kind of like hoping, because this is all so recent, like he made this announcement in August 2020. I was kind of hoping to go onto his website and see that he would be like in the middle of it. But he's like, he's already finished it. Like, you know, by the time I found out about it, he's like already done it again. Like, to do that twice in your life in the space of 10 years, basically. He did the first one in 2011.
Yeah. You know, as well, like, I think what upsets me is obviously like changing your body composition so quickly in any shape is not good for you. But I think it's the idea that these trainers seem to think that this is all larger body people or fat people eat. Like, as in, like, they're like, and now I just stuff my guzzler with 7,000 calories a day. That's my, that's what these fatties must be doing. Instead of asking them and going like, so what do you, because most of the time bigger people actually eat pretty standardly. They're just bigger people, or like, you know, like anyone, you have times where you eat more, times where you eat less, all this sort of stuff. But that they don't, or they're stuck in the diet loops and they might be binging and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But it's like these trainers don't take that into consideration whatsoever and just go, you guys must be eating like these big little piggies. You know what I mean? Like, and you know what I mean? Like, they're constantly stuck every 2 hours. Do you think like actually fat people every 2 hours are setting alarms and going, better eat again? Like, you know, that's not what they're doing. Like, you know.
And what he's also saying, as well as that, he's also saying, this is how you do it. This is how you get rid of it. Is do this like in extreme exercise and food plan. And I believe on this particular journey, he incorporated the kind of the kind of most popular diets people use when they're trying to lose weight. He did, I think he did a bit of keto. He did a bit of vegan. He did a few different kind of like, you know, things. And then he also kind of went like, yeah, okay, so this is why keto doesn't work for some people, and this is how it works. You know, this is why vegan doesn't work for some people, and this is how you make it work. You know, so it's kind of like, it's still not, it's kind of diet culture wrapped up in this very deceptive kind of package, you know?
Yes.
It's like saying like, oh no, this is different because we're not just going to give you a fad diet and say, off you go. I'm going to do it myself and show you why you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to succeed at it, you know?
And I'm going to do it in a really short space of time, which is how diets actually are successful, in a really short space of time, but long term aren't. Also, I just want to say, you know, this is his full-time job. His full-time job is to look this way. So to anyone out there, if you're wondering, how did he lose that weight? It's because that's his only job. How he makes money is by training other people. This, it's like when someone's a model and they're like, how did she lose all that weight? Like just after having a baby in 2 days. I'm like, because that's her full-time job. Like, and she has lots of other people to help her in doing this. And like, that's her full-time job. And like other people, that's not. If you want that to be your full-time job, grand. But if you're going to work a 40-hour week doing something else, like an office job, say goodbye to your friends and family. Say goodbye to your social life, because this is going to take up every fibre of your being.
And one other question. You're on your own.
You're on your own, absolutely. And you're going to throw so much money at it because you're going to be hiring someone like him to, you know what I mean? Like to pay them what? Like he probably, I'd say, charges like something like $100 an hour or something like that.
I'd say
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And can I also ask, when he's talking, he's like, you know, I'm a fitness and nutrition expert. Connor, do you have any details if this man has done a degree in nutrition or maybe a 6-week course, perhaps? Is he a nutritionist, dietitian? Would love to know if he went to college. Because if you're going to call yourself an expert, babes, I'm going to want to see that diploma, that PhD, that master's. Do you know what I mean? What's his CV like?
Okay, so Grace, the thing about Drew Manning is his website has lots of things you can buy on it. His about Drew section says nothing about his qualifications, which really makes me very suspicious. He says he has created a company. He's a best-selling author. He's been the host of a TV show and helped hundreds of thousands of people achieve their goals. So I feel like if you had a PhD, in dietary sciences, if he was a registered dietitian, I feel like that would be like in the first line of your bio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I introduce myself to people by going, Grace Mulvey, Creative Digital Media, IT Tala graduate.
Exactly. But and comedian.
No, but honestly, yeah, you're right. Like
classically
on his website.
Trained.
I'm a classically trained professional eater, Grace Mulvey diet. But like if he was in his about page, definitely you'd have all your credentials there. And by the way, anytime you go see a doctor, they always have like MSc, you know, like they have all the like, you know, like all of their credentials after their name. Like,
it's so important. It is so important for this type of thing. So now we're not saying that this is direct evidence that he's not qualified, because
but once again, you know, don't wanna... personal trainers should not be talking to you about nutrition. Like if they're not dietitians, they're meant to talk to you about fitness. But a lot of personal trainers, we talked about this, do talk to people about nutrition and might. And you don't know if they have what qualifications they have to be talking to you about that, really.
You but Grace, I mean? You know what really bothers me when I do look on his website? You know, like just back to our thing of us being kind of susceptible to the diet culture stuff. Like there is part of me that looks at his website and goes, whatever about him putting on all the weight and doing all that crazy shit, right? Whatever about, that's just madness. We can all agree on that. There is definitely part of me, if I'm being totally honest, that's like, well, he did lose it and he is now in amazing shape again, you know?
No.
So like I am, there is definitely part of me, even when I watch these Fit to Fat to Fit shows, call it, you know, the editing or the format or the structure, whatever it is, or just some form of, you know, brainwashing based on years of like, you know, my own experience. There definitely is part of me that's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe if I took on an extreme exercise plan and food plan, all that, I would like, you know, get rapid results in a short space of time, even with everything. No, even with everything I've said on this podcast,
I know. But Connor, and this is all I'm going to say, because I, even at the top of the show, I mentioned the mind frame I'm in at the moment and trying to fight it. This guy also, he works, like, I'm not going to discount the fact that this man obviously has had a very rigid diet and exercise plan and likes to look a certain way. Fair play to him. But it is his full-time job. And on top of that, he is also genetically predisposed to be able to gain muscle in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, as much as I'm like, yeah, he works hard, do not get me wrong, but like, could that man make himself an inch taller by working out? No, but he can gain a certain, but that's his genetics. You know what I mean? Like, I, as much as possible, he's able, he is able to do that. That's fine. He couldn't look like me. He can't get my bum. You know what I mean? If he wanted to, if he was like, I'm gonna put on weight so I can look like Grace Mulvey and I'm going to get her arse. He's not going to be able to do that by just putting on weight. He's going to have to go get some, you know, surgery and stuff like that. That's because I have a different genetic disposition to this man. So like, this is what I don't, sometimes it's just frustrating to me that there's a very narrow view of what fitness and health success looks like. And the people who decide what it looks like tend to be the people who are selling you the products. There is a wide range of what we should be looking at as beauty, health, fitness success that we don't look at. And this is my issue when that woman was, you know, that was on the beach with him that time and said, I was really surprised that he was finding the workout so difficult. The one she had just done. That's because she sees a guy who, yeah, has put on a bit of weight, but she sees a guy who is the fitness success. And so she deems that she, yeah, she should be embarrassed. She's not able to do it, but she's surprised he's not able to do it. Thin people can be unfit. Fat people can be fit. These are truths that we don't see enough and are not sold, because the people who want to sell us stuff go, you're going to have to look a certain way if you want to be deemed fit and successful. And, you know, that's really what this guy is doing. And I'm not sure he's a bad, I'm not saying he's a bad person. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's doing it out of maliciousness, but I think it's a, also he is ingrained in this diet culture. Look how much it messed with him changing his body composition. That also is a guy who is so scared of looking a different way. You know what I mean? So all I want to say is that, you know, I know it's hard to remember that, but I'm almost trying to give you the pep talk that I was trying to give myself at the start of the show, which is like, you know, we are all trapped in this diet culture. It is up to us to decide what is best for our bodies. And, you know, try to, like, spending hundreds of euro to look like someone else. To be honest, you're going to have to spend thousands and hours and probably end up in a plastic surgery chair, because a lot of them are getting plastic surgery as well.
And so, you know,
yeah.
You know, it's funny, like at the start of this year, I basically had a major epiphany and I was like, I am never doing another squat, lunge or strongman hit type of workout ever again. All of that shit has never come naturally to me. It's never felt natural. It's never felt like, oh yeah, this is right for me. It's never felt like that.
And go on, you good thing, Connor.
And I, honest to God, and I realized that like my favorite type of exercise, and one that actually gives results, whether it's on the scales, whether it's in how I feel, whether it's in my kind of like fitness, like kind of cardio level, the one exercise I actually get something out of is just walking. Literally just not running, not destroying my knees by running on fucking concrete with an elevated body weight and all that. It's just walking. And, you know, it's all I need to do is just like walk like every day or walk a few times a week and I will just feel fine. And it's when I see guys like this and they're like, push it. There is part of me that's like, oh, maybe I should be doing that too. But I think because I've had those kind of revelations and I've done so much kind of self-reflection, I know that that's not for me. And I'm totally okay with that.
That is also called, and we're going to do an episode on intuitive eating and intuitive exercise at some point, but that is intuitive exercising. Mm. That is actually listening to your body and go, what do I want to do? Yeah. What do I enjoy doing? Going for a walk is totally acceptable as a form of exercise. It is amazing for your mental health. It's amazing for your thinking. It's lovely to listen to this podcast while you're going for a walk or something else. If you choose to listen to lesser podcasts, that's fine. No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's but the fact that you'd be made feel that, particularly as a man, not a lot of men get to go. When men do exercising, it's, I hike. You know what I mean? Like, I play five-a-side football. You know what I mean? Like, I bust my bollocks getting the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But going for a walk, I very, very rarely hear a man go, yeah, I just went for a walk. Nice to go for a walk, bit of form of exercise. Women will do it, but men, it's sort of, because it's deemed gentle, when actually, gentle, it just means it's enjoyable, probably.
If I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't love walking by myself so much, I would start a men's only walking group, just a bunch of bros just power walking down the promenade.
Can I just say, as a woman, I know if I saw a gang of men going for a walk, I'd be terrified.
Like intimidating. Don't worry, we'll wear like pink high-vises and just like, you know, be very as like non-threatening as possible.
With like male feminist written on it. And I'm like, oh, there's my bros. There's my guys. No, but it is actually like hearing a man go like, yeah, like I actually just really enjoy walking is so refreshing, because so many men feel, I think, that they have to be the masculine, you know, like the real like testosterone. I'm going to go and box my way to brilliance. And it's like, oh, gosh. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fad Camp. As always, we want to thank our producer, Darren Lee. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to review us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Great ratings and reviews really help more people find the show, and it would mean a lot to us.
Make sure to share the episodes with friends and family or on your social media. Every listen helps.
And we absolutely love hearing from our listeners, so please get in touch with any of your diet stories on fadcamppodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.